or else let me tell him.
Let me tell him.
All right, guys, come on back to the seats. We're getting started now. Go.
Kevin, with that, would you like to kick us off? They should maybe move down and kind of get seated if we just get going.
Yeah.
All right.
Kevin, we need an Irish joke.
Well, I'd be happy to give you an Irish joke, but... Okay, I'll tell you. I was going to give you a Jewish joke. But how about I start with an Irish-Jewish joke? So, there were these... there was this man, and he was in Northern Ireland. And this is the time during the IRA and the Orange Group, okay? So... Yeah, they're killing each other, and he's a visitor, and he's walking in Northern Ireland in Belfast in the night, and he feels a poke in the back. Something pokes him in the back, and the voice behind him says, "Protestant or Catholic?" And he knows if he says Protestant and it's the IRA, he's done. And he knows if he says Catholic and it's the Orange, he's done. So he says, "Jew." And the voice behind him says, "Why, I must be the luckiest Arab terrorist in all of Ireland tonight." Okay, so before we get started, I just wanted to share. I've heard a lot of people say this week, either to me or I've heard them talking about feeling like you like to control things, like to be in control. And so that's kind of the opposite of trust, right? Because trust means you have to kind of let go of control and trust someone else. And if we can go to the first slide, there's a group of people that are very controlling, and these people are very hard to trust, and these people are IRS agents. And with good reason, you can't trust them. Oh, before we start that, I don't want to forget to say this. In the packet I gave you last night that had the GMRs in it, in the back of it, the last three pages are samples, and the first one is only five verses. It's in John 3, 16 to 22, I think, 21. And I've also heard about, I've talked to some people who feel like we don't, as couples, don't do things together. So this might be something, it's just a thought, if you want to do things as couples, that something like this might be easy to do. It's short, it's easy, and you could do it together. For what it's worth, that's just wanted to throw that out. Anyway, I thought today, speaking about trust and control and the IRS, I wanted to tell you about the Jewish synagogue that got audited by the IRS. And the agent went through everything, and he's talking to the rabbi, and he can't find anything, and he's frustrated. So he looks around and he says, "I notice you have a lot of candles here. What do you do with the drippings of the candle? Do you save those?" And the rabbi says, "Oh, that's a very good question. Yes, as a matter of fact, we save all the drippings and we put them in a box. And when the box is full, we send it to the candle maker. And once a year, the candle maker, he sends us a box of candles for free." And the IRS agent, a little frustrated there was actually an answer to this question, said, "Well, what about all the unleavened bread, the matzah crackers? I know you use those matzah crackers, lots of those. What do you do with the crumbs and the leftovers?" He says, "Oh, rabbi says, very good question. We actually save all the leftovers and we put them in a box. And when the box is full, we send it to the matzah factory. And every year, they send us a free box of matzahs." The agent's even more frustrated. He says, "Well, I hear you do a lot of circumcisions around here." "What do you do with the tips?" And he says, well, that's a very good question. We actually save all the foreskins and we put them in a box. And when the box is full, we send them to the IRS. He said, to the IRS? He says, yes, directly to the IRS. And every year, they send us a little prick, like you. Oh, I forgot. I didn't start my tape till now. Is that okay? We'll just leave that one off for other future generations. Okay, this morning I want to talk to you about trust. I want to continue to talk to you about trust. And I want to begin with a word of prayer because I need that. Lord, I'm going to trust you right now. As I share this message, Lord, that has been probably the most impactful thing I've ever done in my life, to learn this obedience, I pray that your words would speak through me, that it would be all you, no Kevin. So just give me the words, Lord, and I pray for the people here that you'd give them ears to hear and hearts to receive. And the will, Lord, to do what we're going to talk about today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today I want to share you about with you the single greatest thing that I have ever done, that I continue to do, to build trust. We talked about earlier substantiating your faith, working it into your life. If you will work this thing into your life, I guarantee you, it'll change your life. Next slide. This is Ephesians 5:20. It says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine named Brad. I was young in the Lord, maybe... I don't know, this was about 24 years ago, so I don't know, I wasn't that long in the Lord. But Brad comes over to my office, he says, Kevin, I got to show you something. I said, what is it, Brad? He said, I got to show you a verse. And he shows me this verse. And I read this verse, and I saw that it said, give thanks for everything. And I thought, well, he can't mean like everything, like what about bad things? He says, I don't know, Kev, it says everything. I said, well, there's that other verse that says, give thanks in everything. And then that's like, no matter what's happening, there's always something to be thankful for, right? Like, you still got your eyeballs. Something to be thankful. But this says, for everything. I said, Brad, I don't know. That might be a typo. That could be a typo. He said, that's what I was thinking. I went to 5 different versions. They all say the same thing. I said, really? Yeah. And so he was just commiserating with me that he found this verse and he didn't like it. And I didn't like it. And I wondered about it. And then I began to pray about it. And I realized, I don't do this. So... not long after, we moved to Grass Valley, and we were starting to build our home there. And I was also working on the side for a company called Yardbirds, who I had developed a center for them. And I became kind of their unofficial vice president of real estate. And whenever they had real estate things, they hired me. And I don't get paid by the hour, I get paid by the project. And we had this project, I've been working on it for almost a year. We had spent the last 3 or 4 weeks going through all the lawyer stuff and getting all the everything, you know, dialed in, and it was finally ready for signature. And at the last minute, like this is 11:59 and 59 seconds, the CEO of the company said, "I changed my mind." And I had tried to convince him of all the reasons why he wanted to do this, and we had successfully completed what he wanted to do, but I got a call from the CFO. He said, "Kevin, I just want to let you know this isn't going to happen. Don't bring it up again. It's over." And my office was in the home in Grass Valley at that time, so I got a call from my wife in the other room. She said, "Hey, dinner's ready." So I walked out, and we had a bankruptcy, or not a bankruptcy, but a vacancy in one of our buildings. It was, and I felt for sure that this project was going to fill that thing. You ever think you know what God's going to do, and you're just sure that's what God's going to do? That's how I was. And then this fell out. And so Gail said, we sat down for dinner, and Gail said, "Kevin, you want to give thanks for the food?" I said, "Yeah, we need to give thanks that we lost the deal." And Gail says, "We lost the deal?" I said, "Yeah." So I thanked God for the food, and I thanked Him that we lost the deal. Ask me if I felt thankful that we lost the deal. No. But I gave thanks for it. And a couple days later, I was in my office, and I felt the Holy Spirit speaking very clearly to me. And this is what I sensed He was saying. He said, "Hey, Kevin, how long did you spend on that project?" And I thought, "Well, a year." He said, "And what eternal benefit, Kevin, came from all that work that you did?" And I thought, "Well, nothing." And if you hadn't noticed, God, there wasn't any temporal benefits either. And God said this to me, "Kevin, trust me with the assets I've given you and do what I've called you to do." And I thought about that. And this company, Yardbirds, I did a lot of work for them, but it was a lot of work. And sometimes I got paid, sometimes I didn't. They wanted to pay me by the hour, but I hate tracking hours. So I said, "No, you pay me by the deal." And I called that company, and I told the CFO, "I'm not going to do any more projects for you." And he understood, because this wasn't really right what they did. But, you know, as I thought about it, I was actually started to be thankful. Because this was like an albatross on my neck, this doing this. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to trust God with what I have. And then sometime later, I had this company that I was trying to get into our building, and I had half the building empty, and we were moving along well, and another company came into the mix and offered them a 10-year lease with 4 years free. And it was plug and play. It was a big insurance company that had left, and it was just like plug and play, 4 years free. But then the last 6 years were a lot higher rent. But they said, "Kevin, we got to look at this. This is a pretty sweet offer." And we were already we'd already reached a point of negotiation where we agreed, you know, we're just talking to each other. But so I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I just want to thank you for this. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to thank you for this, and my trust is in you." And it turned out that the Lord then gave me this idea to go to the city. This company brought in a lot of tax revenue. They had a lot of income, the sales. And I got this idea to share the tax revenue that comes to the city, because 1% of their sales goes to the city to pay for the improvements we need, because the other city that was going to get it was another city. And I said, "If we don't get this deal, we both lose." And I went to the mayor, and he said, "I like this idea." And they ended up setting up for the first time this tax sharing agreement, and took half the revenue to pay for tenant improvements. So the deal actually got better. I didn't have to put any money in. They put in all the money. And I ended up getting the tenant. And that tenant has been there now 15 years. And then in that same building, in 2010, the guy who had the upper floor, he had an executive suites business. He called me. No, he didn't call me. He sent me a letter and said, "I'm walking on the lease." He had 2 years left. and I'm going to build a building with my dad, or I'm going into to a building with my dad, and I'm not going to leave though for 2 months because I know it'll take you 2 months to get an unlawful detainer, so I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to pay you rent for the next 2 months, then I'll move. Well, at the time I had another building. This was during that recession period of 09 to 12. We're right in the heart of it in 2010, and I had another building that was empty and from a tenant that had moved out. And so I also had 4 kids in college, and the loss of this tenancy was basically the profit in the building. I now had lost, I'm now losing 90% of my income. So I took the letter and I set it on the couch in my office, and I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, I just want to thank you for this. I have no idea what you're doing, Lord, but I'm trusting you." There was a lot of other times when I was giving thanks in between these ones I'm sharing, and I was learning to give thanks. It was a process, okay? At first, I was never thankful, but I did it anyway. But by this time, I had seen God move so many times that I don't know that I was like cheery, cheery thankful, but I had trust that God had something going. And so, it turns out that the guy did move out, and I went to the brokers. They said, "You know, it's the recession. Nobody's moving. The only thing you can do is try to maybe rebuild this, you know, little small businesses and executive suites." Well, we did that. We rebuilt the company, and now that company makes more money. I have employees there. It's a business where we share the love of Christ. I mean, we compete with Regis, who's like the big corporate people to do this, but so we provide all the things that they do. And there was a woman who came to visit us, and we gave her a tour, and my manager toured her, and she was leaving. I happened to be in the parking lot when she was leaving, and I said, "Hey, Linda, did the manager give you a good tour? Did you get all your questions answered?" She said, "Yes. Yes, it did." And she said, "You know, I was kind of surprised. I thought when I went to Regis that they would be the more professional organization, but actually you guys are." And I said, "Well, we're not in the same business as Regis." She said, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, yeah, we'll give you an office, and you know, we give you a desk, and we have high-speed internet and conference room. We have all the things that Regis has, but we're not in their business." She said, "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "Well, our business is just to love people. And I tell my staff, your job is to love people so much they never want to leave." And she looked at me kind of like a dog when they tilt their head at you, funny. She said, "Nobody does that in business." I said, "We do." 20 minutes later, she called my manager, said, "Send me the contract. I'm coming to work." She's still there. And that's what we do. We have this opportunity now to love people through the business. And one of my spiritual sons came through the business, lost guy. So, you know, what I've found is that a lot of times when you're going along and you're driving, it's like the hitchhiker story. You guys ever heard about the hitch? Joe used to tell me this story. He said, it's like when you go to pick up a hitchhiker and you go, "All right, hop in the back." And the guy says, I don't want the back." I say, "Well, okay. You can sit in the front with me. You want to sit in the front?" He says, "I don't want the front." "What do you mean? You don't want the back? You don't want the front? What do you want?" He said, "I want the wheel." "The wheel? Well, I give you the wheel. You might go somewhere I don't want to go." He said, "That's right. That's right." See, that's what the Lord Jesus is. Some people got Jesus in the back seat. "See, I got Jesus. See that? He's right back there. Go to church, do your thing." Other people, they got Jesus in the front seat. "Buddy Jesus. You know, I got that stock on the margin door, and I sure need that to tick up a couple times. Buddy Jesus, help me out on that, would you?" And then there's the people that say, "Hey, Lord, I would really like the car to go this way, right? This is where we're going. I want to go this way. But I'm going to give you the wheel. And wherever you go, I'm going with you. And I have found in my life that God has made several hard left turns that weren't expected. And I'm thinking, whoa, I thought we were going this way. Now we're going like this. I've had cancer. I've had deaths. I've had business. All of it. You know what I found out? Almost every one of those hard left turns ends up taking me to a place far, far better than I ever would have gone on my own. And so, I don't struggle now with this concept. I give thanks for everything, good or bad. And I want to share this verse, the next verse. Can we look at it? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. This is a set of verses to live your life by. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Inside your papers today, you don't have to read this now, but I just want to tell you, this is a chapter 42 from Ian Thomas's book, The Indwelling Life of Christ. If you don't own this book, you should get this book. Just trust me, get this book. And I encourage you at a later time to read the chapter, but right now, I just want to talk to you about something he said about this. And basically, let's go to the next slide. Can we do that? He said this: can any situation possibly arise under any circumstances for which the Lord Jesus is not adequate or less than adequate? Any pressure, promise, problem, responsibility, or temptation? If he be truly God, not one. That being so, applying his adequacy by faith to every situation as it arises will leave you with no alternative but to obey this injunction: in everything give thanks. In how many things? Everything. Without exception. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If in any situation you are not prepared to give thanks, you are out of the will of God. Let me read that one more time. If any situation arises for which you are not willing to give thanks or prepared, you are out of the will of God. I had a friend named Steve. He ran a dairy up in Northern California. And he was telling me that these situations would come up and he'd get angry. And God would say, hey Steve, I see you're angry. I guess that means you think this problem too big for me, huh? You have to be angry about it? So I guess I'll let you handle this on your own. Same thing happens when we despair. We get into the dumps over a problem. God says, well, I guess you don't think I can handle this, so I guess I'll let you handle that. I remember one time I was just down. I was just kind of down a lot, and I was in there praying one day, and Gail came in and said, you know, if you really trusted God, you wouldn't be down, because you wouldn't have any reason to be down. I think you just don't trust God enough. And I thought about it. I thought, I think you're right. Didn't tell her that, but be careful about how many times you do that. But she was right. And I memorized a verse. I worked a verse into my life. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made, and what? I will rejoice and be glad. There's something else. Next slide. I want to share this with you. This is out of Jesus Calling, November 24th, and this really spoke to me. Thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. That is why I have instructed you to give thanks for everything. There is an element of mystery in this transaction. You give me thanks, regardless of your feelings, and I give you joy, regardless of your circumstances. This is a spiritual act of obedience, at times blind obedience. To people who don't know me intimately, it can seem irrational and even impossible to thank me for heart-rending hardships. Nonetheless, Those who obey me in this way are invariably blessed, even though difficulties may remain. Thankfulness opens your heart to my presence and your mind to my thoughts. You may still be in the same place with the same set of circumstances, but it is as if a light has been switched on, enabling you to see from my perspective. This is the light of my presence that removes the sting from adversity. I also have that in your packet, so you have that to refer to later. I have a friend named John Mosley. Some of you guys know John. John's going through a lot of adversity right now. John said to me, giving thanks as a default, he said, is becoming my goal. It's the switch that releases the tug to go into grumbling and complaining in my flesh and turns my focus to Jesus. I used to struggle with discouragement in my life. I'm learning to trust the sovereignty of God in my life. And he said to me, I'm learning to replace a four-letter word response with 8 letters. Thank you. Next slide. Now, Jesus takes this to another level. This is in a passage, next thing is John 6:11-13, where he's feeding the 5,000. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Hey, there's a lad here with 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples. And then the disciples gave them to those sitting down, likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, gathered up the baskets, and there were 12 baskets of the leftovers. Notice, when does Jesus give thanks here? Before it even happens. He's thanking before God acts. Let's look again. Here's John 11. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing here, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." So, I learned, next slide, I learned this from a man named Ian Thomas the first day I met him. He was going to come speak at our camp. We have a family week like this in California. And he was coming, and he was staying at my house the night before. He's going to be the speaker. So I'd never met him before, and we were chatting. And as we were chatting, I said, "Mr. Thomas, what do you do?" He said, "Oh, I run these ministry centers called Torchbearers, and it's a ministry to young people to help them walk with Jesus." I said, "Oh." Now, by the way, he's 80 years old. Okay, just so you know, when I'm talking to this guy, he's 80. I said, "How many of these centers are there?" He said, "Well, there's 22 centers all around the world." I said, "Oh, well, who runs all these centers?" He goes, "The buck stops with me on all of them." I said, "Are you kidding me? Man, I get 2 projects and I'm overwhelmed. You got 22? I said, "How do you do that?" He said, "It's easy." He said, "It's not my ministry, it's God's. So whenever a problem arises, I just go to God and I say, 'Lord, you have a problem in your ministry. I'm available if you want to use me in the solution. But I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do to solve your problem.'" I said, "You're kidding. That's what you do?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Does that work?" And he said, "Well, it has for 40 years. I said, "Wow." I said, "Yeah, but you know, that sounds good and all for a ministry, but what about a businessman like me? Could that work for me?" And he said, "Well, that all depends." I said, "Depends on what?" And what he said next marked my life. He said, "It depends whose business it is." And I thought about it and I realized, whether I acknowledge it or not, God owns my business. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. And actually, as I thought about it more, I realized my business is my ministry. And so a couple of weeks later, I was riding in the morning on my exercise bike, reading my Bible and praying. It's kind of what I would do in the morning. And I started talking to God, and I said, "Hey, God, I don't know if you noticed, but your business has a problem. And I'm available. You want to use me in that solution? I'm available. But I'm just going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do." And I remember I asked him, when you're done praying that, what do you do after that? He said, "I just go about my beekeeping," or he had some term for it, but he just goes about the normal routines he has to do at work. So that day I just went to work, did the things I had to do, and about 3 o'clock got a phone call. The problem I had prayed about was solved. I said, This is good. This is good. And I began to incorporate this into my life. I have more stories here, but the time is running out. So I just want to show you. This is the verse he gave me. And this has become Gail and I's life application verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths." I want to tell you, I acknowledge everything in my life before the Lord. I acknowledge my work, my appointments, my meetings with my children, anything I'm going to purchase. I never buy anything without acknowledging it before God, because He might want to give it to you. In fact, He gave me a ski boat that I wanted. And He gave me John Daly's Lexus, which is a whole other story I'll tell you some other time. But I just acknowledge everything. I acknowledge parking places when I get stuck. And that reminds me about an Irish businessman. And he was going to the meeting, and he was late, and he was nervous. You know, he's getting late, and he can't find a parking place. He says, "Dear Lord, if you just give me a parking place, I promise to go to Mass every week and give up my Irish whiskey." And just then a parking place opens up. He says, "Never mind, found one." Now, in your packets today, I hope I put this in. This is very important, yes, it is. In your packets is this thing. This is called the Great Prayer. And it's an acronym, and G stands for greet the day with praise and thanksgiving. R is remember, report in remembering your purpose. E is engage. A is acknowledge. And T is give thanks. I used to have this thing they told me, ACT, ACTS or something. I never related to that. But John Mosley gave me this, and I found it to be very practical. And so what I do is I start my day when I pray. I just say, "Lord, I just thank you." In fact, my intimacy with God starts before I get out of bed. I'm talking to Him before I even set foot on the ground. And I always just give thanks for the day. And I thank Him for yesterday. And I had some great answered prayer yesterday. I was thanking Him this morning. And in here are listed the 10 character qualities of God. And several times I'll just praise Him for those qualities. I'll just walk through those qualities, or I'll pick one of them. And then R is report in remembering your purpose. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. But I have Gail and I have a written purpose statement for our life. And so the two big goals of my life are to glorify God in everything I do, and to take as many people to heaven with me as I can. And so I remember that. I say, "Lord, I'm here to glorify you today. And to, with you working through me, to take as many to heaven as I can." Three is engage. Engage is very important. What I do there is I say, and Ian taught me this, I say, "Lord, I just want you to fill me from the top of my head, tip of my fingers to the bottom of my toes. Just fill me with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me from all iniquity." And also, I pray, all infirmity. And I just want to walk with you. And if I start going left today, Lord, just nudge me right. If I go right, just nudge me left. And if I go the wrong way, just put a period in my path. Because I want to walk with you. This is how I want to live. I want to live like this with the Lord. And then when you do that, life goes way better. And then A is acknowledged. So I literally, then I begin to acknowledge. I say, Lord, today I have these appointments. I'm going to meet with this guy. I don't know if he knows you. I pray that if he doesn't, that I would really be light to him. And if you have something you want me to share, I just go through everything, including, you know, when I come home, I want to re-engage with my kids. You know, switch hats kind of at the mailbox. Take off the business hat, put on the dad hat, put on the husband hat. I acknowledge everything, and I thank him. The last one is T, thanks. I thank him in advance for what he's going to do. And after that, I just pray as the Holy Spirit leads me. And so, I just want to end with this statement. If you learn to give thanks for everything, I promise you, it will change your life. It leads to greater trust, which leads to seeing God move more. You know, the more you acknowledge things before God, the more you see answered prayer. I used to only bring big things to God until I learned King Asa got scolded for not bringing a little thing to him. And I thought, I guess you want to hear all about it. So, and really, everything's little to God, so what does it matter? But it will lead to more trust, which leads to seeing God move more, which leads to increased faith, which leads to pleasing God more. And it may even lead to disappearing. So I hope that you guys can take this to heart. And I know it's not easy to thank for hard things, but just trust me. I didn't come here to lie to you today. I'm telling you the truth. Okay, thanks for listening, guys.